أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد محمد صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد محمد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yesterday, we started looking at the biography of one of the Shias of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. And the personality we were looking at is Ammar bin Yasir. We did mention the birth of Ammar and the parents of Ammar, and we ended talking about the torture which he endured, he himself, his father, and the mother. And we mentioned the hadith that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam passed, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, by this family when they were being tortured, and he said, Sabran ala Yasir, inna maw'idakumul jannah. As you can remember, we said that the importance of this topic is to mention the followers of Ali bin Abi Talib in order for us to establish the idea of Shia and Shias of Ali bin Abi Talib are not those people who initiated new madhab, but the madhab they are in relation or related to is the madhab of Ali bin Abi Talib, who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and that is original Islam. What I want to add before continuing with the biography of Ammar, there are two verses in the Holy Quran which sometimes we read. These are the verses which are giving us a clear indication about the meaning of the word Shia. Because Ammar was Shia of Ali bin Abi Talib, we read in the Holy Quran in Surah As-Saffat, Surah number 37 in the Holy Quran, Ayah 83, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he says, Wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim. Wa inna min shi'atihi. Verily, among his Shia, la Ibrahim was Ibrahim. What does this ayah tells us in Surah Safat, ayah 83? It means that Ibrahim was a Shia of. Here Allah talks about Prophet Nuh alayhi salam in few verses before 83. He talks about the life of Prophet Nuh and the way he chose to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam came and he followed the same footsteps of Nuh. And he stood on the same path. Allah calls Ibrahim as a Shia of Nuh alayhi salam. And he says, Wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim, because he followed the same way and the same creed. In Surah Al-Qasas, which is Surah number 28 in the Holy Quran, Ayah number 15, you find the word Shia has been mentioned twice to give us the clear indication of the followers of Nabiullah, one of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wadakhala al-Madina, wadakhala al-Madinati ala hini ghaflatin min ahliha, fawajada fiha rajulain yaqtatilan. هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه فاستغاثه الذي من شيعته على الذي من عدوه فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌّ مُضِلٌّ مُبِينٌ. Allah here in this ayah number 15 of Surah Al-Qasas gives us the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, that one day when he entered into the city at the time when people were not awake or people were not in that way of looking what is happening, maybe they were taking a nap in that afternoon, Musa alayhi salam entered into the city and he found two people fighting. Two men fighting. Two men exchanging blows to one another. One of those was his Shia, according to the Holy Quran. Another one was his enemy. That one who was the Shia of Musa alayhi salam called Musa. He called for help. Come and help me. This guy is fighting. He wants to kill me. Musa went to stop the fight. He stretched his hand. He killed the other guy who was his enemy, not his Shia. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the word Shi'atihi twice in the same ayah number 15, talking about the follower of Prophet Musa alayhi salam as his Shia. So what are we learning from these two verses? That the followers of Nabiullah or Anbiya'ullah, the messengers of Allah, were known as Shia of those messengers. So when we find Ammar bin Yasir being a Shia of Imam Ali bin Abi Talib, it is because he came to realize that if I want to be guided, I have to follow a leader, and that leader was Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam, and that's why he decided to follow him. Now you look at the story of Ammar. When he was being tortured by the Quraysh, he couldn't bear the pain and the heat and the lashes and the flogs. He decided to use words in order for him to say, I'm not with my family. I'm not with Rasulullah. I don't follow Islam. So he said the words which Quraysh wanted him to say. When he said that he doesn't believe in one God, and he denounces Rasulullah, they set him free. When he was free, his mom was killed, his father was killed. He went to Rasulullah crying, Ya Rasulullah, today I have said something. I think I have become kafir. When he went to Rasulullah, Rasulullah said, Ammar, don't cry. When you said those words, did you mean it seriously that you are out of Islam? He said, no, it's because I wanted to save myself. Then the Holy Prophet said to Ammar, فَإِنْ عَادُوا فَعُدْ. If they come back to you again, they torture you again, and they force you to denounce Islam, you do the same as you did now. For this, we are learning the issue of taqiyya, because Ammar bin Yasir was the first person at the time of the Holy Prophet in Makkah to use this idea of taqiyya. Wallah, I don't understand. Why today, when you talk to some of our brothers and sisters, they label Shias as the people of taqiyya. As if taqiyya is not in the Holy Quran. As if taqiyya was not practiced by Ammar bin Yasir. As if taqiyya is something new. We say, brothers and sisters, we need to go back again to the Holy Quran to look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And Rasulullah allowed Ammar. He said, فَإِنْ عَادُوا فَعُودْ. If they come back to you again, you use the word of taqiyya. Now, when we look at Ammar as the Shia of Ali bin Abi Talib, we come to know that he understood the essence of Islam properly. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He mentions in his famous hadith, At-taqiyyatu dini wa dinu abai. Taqiyya is my deen. Taqiyya is my way of life. And it is the way of life of my forefathers. This is Imam, the sixth Imam, saying this. When you talk to other people, they come to say, no, taqiyya is not there. Recently we had a discussion with some of our beloved brothers, and they were saying, no, you can have taqiyya between Muslims and non-Muslims, but there is no taqiyya between Muslims. As a Muslim, you cannot practice taqiyya in front of your brother Muslim. I said, truly speaking, if he's a true brother, I don't need to practice taqiyya. But look the way things are happening today in Syria. Recently, they were slaughtering a young boy of 14 years of age because his father and mother and the whole tribe are the followers of Ali bin Abi Talib. So they need to be killed. If you cannot practice taqiyya in front of these people, they will kill you. Same thing is happening in Iraq. Same thing is happening in Pakistan. The place which is known as Parachinar. How many people were killed, slaughtered? Not only that, after they killed them, they chopped their bodies like you're chopping a chicken. If you cannot practice taqiyya in front of those people who call themselves Muslims, they will kill you. Not only that, Rasulullah himself practiced taqiyya in front of his companions. When he was talking to one of his wives, he mentioned a particular person, saying that this is a worse kind of a son, or a person who is coming from a worse tribe. And all of a sudden he knocks at the door. When he knocked at the door, he came in, the Holy Prophet smiled at him, and he was asking about him, inquiring, as if there's nothing wrong between him and that particular companion. His wife is asking Rasulullah after the man left the house, Ya Rasulullah, are you praising him in front of you while you are saying things behind him? In a way, you are talking to me to be aware of this particular person. And the Holy Prophet said, yes, the worst of the people are the one you use ittiqa'a sharrihi, or in this type of meanings. That you need to use taqiyya in order for you to be saved from their shar and evil. When the sixth Imam says taqiyya dini wa dini abai, and other people say there is no taqiyya among Muslims, it seems that they have not understood the idea of taqiyya. And where can't you find taqiyya today in the Arab world? You have those kings and those presidents. If you don't use taqiyya, you lose your job, you lose each and everything. It is taqiyya which can save you. Ammar bin Yasir, as the follower of Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam, he knew the meaning of taqiyya, and that's why he practiced it. And Rasulullah stamped that taqiyya of Ammar bin Yasir because he knew what it meant. Ammar bin Yasir living in Makkah. His father now has been killed. His mother has been killed. Many other people are being tortured. Bilal bin Rabah has been tortured. Many other new Muslims, they don't have protection, are in danger. Rasulullah said to Ammar bin Yasir and group of other Muslims, you have to migrate. Go out of Makkah. Go to a place where you will be saved. And the Holy Prophet chose Habasha. Ja'far al-Tayyar was the leader of a group of people, the first Muslims to migrate from Makkah to Habasha. Around 15 and one men and one lady, they went to the ardi of Habasha and they spent their life there peacefully in a Christian country. And the Quraysh wanted to go there to make sure they bring them back to Makkah. But when they reached there, Ja'far al-Tayyar was very smart. He recited the verses from the Holy Quran, Surat Maryam, to talk about the story of Maryam, because Christians, they understand Maryam. And it was this point which made Najashi, the king of Habasha, to say that the difference between Islam and Christianity is only a thin line. And he allowed them to stay there. Now, when you look at this group of Muslims who migrated to Habasha, few people, living in a Christian country, there are cases like your case and my case. Where are we living now? In a Christian country. We are the minority. The first Muslims were the minority in Habasha. They lived there and Rasulullah allowed them to live there. They protected their iman. You and me, we live in a country where we are minority, the country which is a Christian country. No one should tell you that your life here is haram, don't live here. Mention Ammar bin Yasir, Ja'far al-Tayyar, and the people who used to live with the Christians in Habasha, and the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed them. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Now, Ammar bin Yasir and the group of Muslims stayed until when the Holy Prophet migrated from Makkah to Medina. When the group of Muslims in Habasha heard that Rasulullah had done Hijrah, now he is in Medina, and Medina is safe, they too did Hijrah from Habasha to Medina. So there are among Sahabas who are known as Sahibul Hijratain, the people who have done two Hijrah. Ammar is one of them. Why? Because he's Sahibul Hijratain. He did Hijrah to Habasha and he did Hijrah to Medina to save Islam. When he reached Medina, he found Rasulullah in a process of building Masjidun Nabi or Nabawi. Masjidun Nabawi, a very strategic point in terms of the history of Islam. Rasulullah was building this masjid. Companions were coming to help him building the masjid. Ammar bin Yasir, when he saw Rasulullah carrying the bricks in order for him to build the masjid, and other companions were carrying the bricks, one brick coming to build the masjid, Ammar came carrying two bricks, both hands, for him to come and build the masjid. Rasulullah looked at Ammar and he praised him for that. Why? Because he is building the masjid with both hands, carrying two bricks, and he was full of dust on his face. Rasulullah is looking at him, and he looked at Ammar, he smiled at him, and he said, Ammar is the one who will be killed by that evil group. Sataqtuluka al-fi'atu al-baghiya. O Ammar, the group which is an evil one will kill you, and my shafa'a will not reach them. My intercession will not be with them. We understand that Rasulullah, after completing his masjid, he as Rasulullah helped Ammar to build his house. The house of Ammar was built by Rasulullah, by his holy hands. And here we are learning that Rasulullah was happy always with Ammar. You look at the life of Ammar in Medina, very active, always with Rasulullah. He became a rawi of hadith. He became the one who narrates hadith from Rasulullah. And he narrated many ahadith. One of the hadith which he narrated from Ammar bin Yasir, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is the one which is very famous, which says, Aliyun ma'al haqq, wal haqqu ma'a Ali, yaduru ma'ahu haythu ma dar. Ali is with the haqq, and haqq is with Ali. Wherever Ali is, haqq will be with him. This hadith was narrated from Ammar bin Yasir. Now, because of this hadith, Ammar bin Yasir did not, even for 1 minute, left Ali bin Abi Talib, because he knew that wherever Ali is, haqq is there, right is there, and always he was with Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. Now, when you look at this hadith, we find two things which are important. For those students of Islamic studies, if you do hadith studies, you know that hadith is divided into two parts. Part one, they call it sanad. The second part, they call it matn. Sanad is the chain of narrators. From Ammar bin Yasir, from Rasulullah, Ammar becomes sanad. Matn is the text, the hadith itself. Aliyun ma'al haq wal haq ma'ali. Now we as Shias, when we narrate hadith, we need to follow this way of Ammar when we come to narrate hadith to people. And that's why we find the hadith which says, anyone in my ummah, the Holy Prophet says, who memorizes 40 hadith, these hadith are in relation to his life in this world and in the hereafter. On the day of the resurrection, Allah will resurrect this particular person who has memorized 40 hadith. He will be memorized as faqihan alima, a jurist, a knowledgeable, a scholar. Who among us doesn't want to be resurrected as a scholar? And that's why you see people like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayh, he compiled a book which is known as Arba'in Hadith. Why? Because the Holy Prophet said, if you know 40 hadith, and these hadith will help you in this world as in the hereafter, you will be resurrected as a scholar. Ammar bin Yasir, in Sahih al-Bukhari, there is hadith which has been narrated from Abi Sa'id an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which says, Wai Ammar taqtuluhu al-fi'atul baghiya yad'uuhum ila al-jannah wa yad'uunahu ila al-nar. Qal yaqul Ammar a'udhu billahi min al-fitan. In Sahih al-Bukhari you find this hadith that the Holy Prophet says, may Allah be merciful to Ammar. He will be killed by a rebellious group. He will be inviting them to paradise, and they will invite him to hell. When Ammar had the Holy Prophet saying this, he said, I seek refuge in Allah with the fitan which will happen. So Ammar lived with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as a proper sahaba who used to follow the teachings of Rasulullah. After the death of Rasulullah, Saqifa happened. Ammar was with Imam Amirul Mu'mineen. Always he supported the party, and that's why he is known as Shi'atu Ali. Abu Bakr died. Umar came to power as the second Khalifa. He was looking at the companions and he saw Ammar as a knowledgeable companion. He appointed him as a governor of Kufa, the city of Kufa. Ammar agreed. He became a governor of Kufa, govern all the Muslims there. Because he was an upright person, always he was dealing with people with justice, people caused a lot of trouble for him, and he left that governorship of Kufa. During the caliphate of Uthman, people were so angry with the third Khalifa because he always gave position to his people, to his family members, to Bani Umayyah. Eventually he was killed. Ammar bin Yasir always spoke against the injustices which were committed at that time. And we come to know that during the caliphate of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam, always Ammar was with Imam Amirul Mu'mineen wholeheartedly. And because of this, we find from the sixth Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. The sixth Imam, very rare he talks about the companions of Rasulullah. Here with Ammar, our Imam says, Ammar is and was the proof and sign of Imama of Imam Ali. Ammar was the proof of Imama of Imam of Imama of Imam of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Why? Because the Imama of Imam of Ali bin Abi Talib, some people could not understand it properly. But Ammar, because always he was with Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, the sixth Imam says he was the sign and the proof of the Imama of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. Sallallahu Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah Muhammad. When Imam Amir al-Mu'minin came to power, some people who were opposing the third Khalifa, when they came to know that Imam Amir al-Mu'minin was appointed as Khalifa, he always was Imam, they said, no, we have to look for the killers of Uthman. We have to do revenge. Those killers of Uthman, we need to bring them to justice. And they decided to go to Basra in Iraq for the battle which is known as the Battle of Jamal. Unfortunately, our mother of the believers, Aisha bint Abi Bakr, the wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was one of the leaders. Another leader, Talha bin Ubaidillah. Another leader, Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Three key figures. People were confused. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, when he heard that this group of people decided to go to Basra in order for them to wage war against their Imam of the time, he decided to follow them, not to allow them to come to Medina. Ammar bin Yasir was with Imam Amir al-Mu'minin. And Ammar bin Yasir, when he reached outskirts of Basra, he went to talk to Ummul Mu'minin Aisha, saying, oh, the mother of the believer, O wife of Rasulullah, what are you doing? Why are you here with this group of people? You want to fight against Ali bin Abi Talib? Ali is with the Haqq, and Haqq is with Ali, as the Holy Prophet has said. And he did nasiha to Ummul Mu'minin Aisha, and it is here he is known as the person who gave nasiha for people who wanted to wage war against the Imam of their time. We understand Imam Amir al-Mu'minin won the Battle of Jamal. Unfortunately, many people were killed, and there was a cream of those scholars, sahabas, qurra of the Holy Quran, ulama among the sahabas, were killed in this battle, which is the Battle of Jamal. Ammar bin Yasir was with Imam until another battle was started by Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan in Syria, in a place called Siffin. And the Battle of Siffin took place there. The Battle of Siffin is very important when you talk about the life of Ammar. In the year 36 of Hijrah, in the month of Dhul Hijjah, they gathered in Siffin. When Imam Amir al-Mu'minin heard this, he followed them there. And he started talking to them, urging them not to wage war. Muawiyah, you have to accept your Imam of your time, but he refused. And this discussion continued. The month of Muharram came. They didn't fight because it's the holy month, until the month of Safar came in the year 37 of Hijrah. The Battle of Siffin took place. Before the battle, Imam Amir al-Mu'minin sent someone to Muawiyah. And he said, Muawiyah, why do you want to kill all these people here? The problem is you and me. Come, you and me, let us fight as man to man. You kill me, that's fine. I kill you, that's it. And then Muslims will be saved. Muawiyah said, no, I'm not going to fight against Ali bin Abi Talib. And it is here we understand his advisors were asking him, Muawiyah, why you don't want to fight against Imam Amir al-Mu'minin? And he said, have you seen anyone fighting Ali bin Abi Talib? And then he stayed alive. I will not fight against him. And the war started. You look at the army of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, there were 80,000 soldiers. 70 of them were the people who fought in the Battle of Badr. They are known as Ahlul Badr al-Badriyun. 70 were in the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah. 400 were from Ansar and Muhajirin. You look at the army of Muawiyah, he had 120,000 soldiers. All of them were from Syria. They did not know even who Amir al-Mu'minin Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam was. When Ammar was there with Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, people heard about Ammar. They were looking where Ammar will be, because the Holy Prophet said, a rebellious group will kill you. So when they saw Ammar with Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, they said, he is with Haqq. We have to be with Imam. But then they brought some people to fabricate the hadith. They did not follow the group of Ammar. When Ammar was looking at the flags which were being carried by the army and the soldiers of Muawiyah, he said, "I bear witness, wallah, I fought three battles looking at this flag when it was carried by Kuffar. Today I see the same flag being carried by the so-called Muslims." And here he said, "Nahnu darabnakum ala tanzeel, falyawm nadribukum ala ta'weelihi." We fought with you when you are not Muslims because of the revelation. Today we are going to fight against you because of the interpretation of that revelation. Now we understand, when Amr ibn al-As was with Muawiyah, remembered the hadith of Rasulullah, and it was here he talked about this hadith to the soldiers of Muawiyah. Muawiyah became so angry and he said, "Amr ibn al-As, why are you mentioning this hadith?" He said, "Well, I didn't know that Rasulullah was talking about that hadith and the event will happen here in Siffin." Muawiyah changed the situation and the battle continued. When Imam Amir al-Mu'minin was going to win the battle, they came with the trick of carrying the Holy Quran on the spears, or on the spears, and it was here the battle came to a halt. And it's here we understand, before the battle was stopped, Ammar bin Yasir was injured and he was taken aside. While he was there, he was very thirsty and he said, "I need water because I'm very thirsty. I need water." The thirst made people to look for anything for him to drink, and they brought a jug of milk. Ammar took the jug, put it near his mouth, and he said, "Allahu Akbar. My Habibi Rasulullah told me the truth, that my last drink in this life will be a glass of milk, will be that milk which I drink. And it is as if I see Rasulullah now." And it was here, after Ammar drank the milk, it didn't pass long time and he attained his shahada. He passed away while he was, at least according to some historian, 87 years of age, an old man. He was with Amir al-Mu'minin. Imam Amir al-Mu'minin felt very sorry for Ammar bin Yasir, but eventually they had to bury him in that area which is known as Siffin. Today, if you go to Syria, you go to Siffin, you will see the grave of Ammar bin Yasir, which is near to another grave of a very famous Sahaba of Imam Amir al-Mu'minin, who is known as Uwais al-Qarani, who is buried there. And it is here we understand, not only that some bad people, they fought against Ammar while he was alive, but even when he died, people went to Muawiyah and they said, "Muawiyah, you are the cause of the death of Ammar. You have killed him." Muawiyah said, "No, I didn't kill him. The one who killed him is the one who brought him to Siffin." Meaning what? Ali bin Abi Talib brought Ammar here, so he killed him. When Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam heard that, he said, "If this is the trick of Muawiyah, tell me who killed Hamza." It was Rasulullah killed Hamza, because Rasulullah took Hamza to the battle of Uhud and Hamza was killed there. If I have killed Ammar today in Siffin, then Rasulullah killed Hamza in the battle of Uhud. Then haq was known, that no, Rasulullah did not kill Hamza in the battle of Uhud, it was Kuffar. So today the group of Muawiyah killed Ammar, and they are the one who killed him. For this, haq became clear, that if you want to be with truth, be with Ammar, be with Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. As conclusion, we need to understand that people distinguish goodness from evil and truth from falsehood through Ammar. He witnessed a lot in terms of arising of Islam. He was a great companion of Rasulullah. He was a great warrior. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised him Jannah. He was a trustworthy person as Rajulun Thiqa. He was a sincere companion of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He was one of the standard bearer of Ali, Alamdar of Imam Amir. He was and still a sign of the truth. He is Ayatul Haq. Assalamu alayhi yawma wulid wa yawma stushid wa yawma yub'athu hayya wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi tahiri. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi Muhammad. Al-Fatiha for all of our marhumin and another salawat.